When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. On a Friday, it's Friday. Please tell me it's Friday. Because I know I did this last week when I thought it was a day ahead. But Dino, it's Friday, yes?
Can confirm.
Oh my God, thank God it's Friday. I know that sounds cliche, but today, like, it really feels like that. Bart Scott, not with us. It's sad, like, what's going on in his family, but not that I'm trying to laugh. It's more just, even he was sort of just like, it's wild. Back in Detroit again for another funeral. So our thoughts and prayers once again with him, and hoping that things get better for his family. But he's had several relatives that have passed over the last couple of weeks. So it's been several trips over to Detroit. With that. So with that being said, we decided to go Han Solo today with you. So that's why, again, the calls are out and we're ready to go. We'll get them stacked, racked, and you'll be part of the conversation with me. You fill in the blanks that Bart normally would. If you want to eat when you call in, so you know, we get that ambiance as well. Don't. All right, how about just for a day? We just don't have that. Let's go with that. So there's a lot of places we can go to. Yes, coming off of a road trip last night. In Denver, the Knicks do lose a game, although they fought to the very end. They were definitely outmanned by the defending champs, and Jokic was fantastic, but still a road trip. Even with, like, remember yesterday we ended the show where I said, like, how would you feel, you know, win or loss, or how are we feeling about this game? And it's important in the standings because the Knicks, because of the loss and the Magic just keep winning, they drop down to fifth by a half game, but still you drop to fifth because of the loss. The Magic have won five in a row. I can't imagine, though, you come out of last night's game with any complaints. Tell me if you do. But the only complaint I would have is this team's got to get freaking healthy, because the size factor was on display last night more than anything else. And while there is some good news with Mitchell Robinson, there's no news with Julius Randle. That becomes an increasing concern. And we'll see how much longer OG Anunoby will be out as he just tries to get the soreness out of that elbow that he had scoped just a couple of weeks ago. So on the Knicks side of things, there's that. Now they'll be home for a couple of games. They got the Nets Saturday afternoon at the Garden. Then they have the Des Trois Pistons on Monday. Then they go to Toronto and play them. And then they go to San Antonio. So the next four games are against teams that they normally beat, which are teams with a losing record. So that's also part of this is, okay, so you get a 3-1 road trip, which is incredible. You do lose in a scratch-and-claw game in Denver. But the standings are what they are. So they got to get healthy. I mean, I don't know what else to say. There's nothing more to say about the Knicks, because what we know about them is they're going to fight you. They're not giving in. They're not letting go of the rope. Several times last night, second half, you're like, okay, here it comes. Denver hits two or three, you know, gets a couple more shots here. This game's over. And most teams in the NBA at the end of a road trip will let go of the rope, unlace the sneakers, call it a night. They know. This Knicks team doesn't do that. 12-point game, suddenly a 2-point game in a blink of an eye early fourth quarter, and now you're like, well, they got a shot. But once again, Jokic is just that good, and the Nuggets had more size and more players available to them than the Knicks did, and it just showed when it was time to make the big buckets and the big plays. So that's where you're at. So we could talk all day long about the potential of this Knicks team, but we might not ever see it. And the reason isn't because they're not good enough or they don't try hard enough or they're not well coached. It's none of that. It's just simply because there's two pieces that they desperately need back on the floor. One of them should be back, OG Anunoby. The other one, I don't know, Julius Randle. And I get it. If that shoulder's not right, he shouldn't play. It's as simple as that. If he's been working out all this time and in the gym and shooting, and some think like they're not doing contact with him, but they are doing light contact. And if it doesn't feel stable, it doesn't feel right, he doesn't have confidence in it, he should not play. Because what you don't want is a compromised player who is hesitant on the floor. You can't have that in the playoffs. So that's what we're watching right now. And I've said this before. The season will end in heartbreak. You're going to love this. This is fun. You're enjoying it. ESPN Analytics, by the way, has said that the Knicks are still expected to get to the 50-win mark. Finish 9-4. Because of the opponents that they have the rest of the way. And the analytics suggest that their win probability will be 9 out of the last 13 games. That'll get them to 50 wins. They haven't had a 50-win season in over a decade. That's all good. Matchup in the first rounds, that's going to matter. Health, all that stuff. But if they're not a fully healthy team, which includes a 25-10-5 Julius Randle, the season's going to end in disappointment. That's reality. And it's going to leave you wondering, what if? And that leads you into next season. The big what if is get healthy. And if this team can put together a full season of health, they could be a juggernaut. They could be really good. And maybe an addition or two in the offseason. But this is lingering right now long enough to be concerned. And as I said, this is not about, you know, some people might say, hey, Randle, get on the court. It's not about that. Because if he doesn't feel right, you know a player should not play if he's hesitant. If he doesn't feel he can do it, if there's something in the back of his mind that is keeping him from being able to play the way he can, which he is a very physical player. So that's it with the Knicks. We can have the conversation all you want about it. But I'm telling you, nothing matters. We cannot project anything about this team if he's not available. And if he can't go, it does change the trajectory of what this team could be this season. Doesn't mean the window's closed. It just means for this year, there's a little more reality to what they can be versus what potentially at full health, what they could be, which is what everybody has been talking about with this team. And the Nuggets saw it last night. Denver wanted to spank this team. You had to hear Mike Malone before the game. They wanted to spank this team because they beat them by 30. The Knicks beat them by 38 back at the Garden. And Malone even said they got our attention. Knicks are at the end of a road trip. Last game of the road trip, which is always the tough one when you're on the West Coast. Like, these things all happen, right? It's set up for what should have been a blowout. And yet the Nuggets had to play 48 minutes. They had their attention for 48 minutes. There is a lot to respect about the core of this Knicks team. A lot. But unfortunately, we might never see the true potential of this team until next year. And I hate to wait till next year. Because I know Knicks fans always say this. I've waited long enough. Reality is what it is. So there's that. 800-919-3776. But come on. We're in March Madness. And I mean, I'd be remiss. And we're going to have the games on again today, the second day of it. I'd be remiss if I did not bring up the madness already starting. Had a couple upsets yesterday, but none bigger than Oakland. Yeah, no. Not Oakland, California. Oakland, Michigan. Oakland University. They upset John Calipari and Kentucky. And the story really for me has, I think it's been ridiculous how quick everybody wants to jump on Calipari and want to call him out. Maybe it's he's got to change, or maybe it's time for him to go, that he's a problem and all this stuff. And that's insane to me. I get it. It's the great story and what we love about this first weekend of March Madness. You get a guy, Jack Golkey. When you look at him, you think, he looks like he's 35 years old. He's 24. He's in his sixth year of college. Six. This guy's Van Wilder. God bless him, though. He played 5 years, including a redshirt year in Division II. I played Division II, barely, but I did. All right? He played a Division II school. He had a redshirt year his first year. Had a really good 4 years. But because of COVID and everything else, he had one more year he could play. So he opted to do it, and he went to Oakland. He played some D1, and he lit it up. Guy can shoot threes, and he puts up a ton. But if I told you he scored 32 and Oakland upset the third-seeded Wildcats 80-76, you would be like, oh, my God, what is Kentucky doing? What's Cal doing? This is embarrassing. It's been forever since he won a national championship. You know, the one and done stuff and bringing in the top recruiting class, that doesn't work anymore in the NCAA. And you're just going to go after him and go after him. And I'm telling you, stop. Did you watch the game? Because when you watch, I mean, what Golkey had was one of those dream games where everything, and actually, he took 23s and he made 10 of them. So not everything went in. He missed 10. I mean, he missed 10 three-pointers in a game, and he still had the game of his life. He had the green light. It was money green. He hit 10 threes, and some of them were of the chuck and duck variety, like indefensible shots. He was unconscious. And it's like, well, they should have just face-guarded him. Did you watch the game? He was running around, catching, hand in his face, falling back chucks, and they were just going in. Unbelievable shooting display. Unbelievable. Now, again, his numbers tell you that he's that kind of shooter. He's that good. But, I mean, damn. You get a guy that's just that kind of on. He made 7 in the first half. Even his own coach was like, he needs to make 7 more if we're going to win this game. Like, they all knew it. Like, well, that's nuts. But he did cool off in the second half. He made 3. He also got, by the way, he didn't make a 2 in the game. Not a 2. All threes. In fact, the 2, because he got to 30, made 10 threes. Right? I'm not that good at math, but I can figure that out. You know what the 2 points were? He got fouled on a 3. And he made 2 of the 3 free throws. So that's it. Like, he just went, he is absolutely just detonated. And Kentucky, you know, they're young, obviously. It's just different. They just got completely blown away by somebody that had an absolute dream night. It's a great story. Again, older player. Nobody really knows who he is. He wasn't even on the radar coming out of high school. Nobody knew who this guy was. Played Division II. And I can tell you, Division II is tough. It ain't easy. It's tough. It's just not as – the athletes aren't either as big or as athletic. It's as simple as that. It's not like, you know, guys suck. It's simply you're either not big enough or not athletic enough. But they got some ballers in D2. And so he had a good D2 career. And because of all this, you know, again, all the extra stuff, he was able to get that extra year. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to keep playing. And I would tell anybody, play until you can't. You know, don't just say, well, I know I have the eligibility, but I've had enough. No. Play till you can't play anymore. Play till nobody wants you anymore. And so Oakland wanted him. He went, got that taste of playing Division I, and now a guy that was playing D2 in these small gyms and everything. And now, again, they his teams, when he played D2, Hillsdale College, they did go to the tournament, D2 tournament, stuff like that, so they had success. But, I mean, it's a little bit different when you go to March Madness. I mean, you're playing Kentucky all of a sudden. Like, you wake up and you're playing on national television against Kentucky. That's a whole other world. And then you lighten them up. It's a great story. But let's focus on that as the story and not focus on, oh, John Calipari's got to go. You know college basketball has changed. You know the whole landscape is different. The portal has changed everything. The NBA rules have changed everything. NIL has changed everything. It used to be schools like Kentucky and Kansas and Duke and Carolina, even Michigan, those schools could have a great draft freshman class, and they can then have a great year knowing these guys aren't staying here more than 1 year. Maybe some will stay 2. Calipari, that's all it really was. I mean, that's just the reality. They won national championship with one-and-done players. But it's different now. College basketball has changed, and is it for the better? Because there's your example. You're seeing the mid-majors have older players who are very talented and experienced, and they're taking on the bigger schools that have younger players. You got to have the mix. That's becoming a thing now. Rick Pitino talked about it when you're in the MAC. And all of a sudden, they come in like vultures because of the portal. And they take your players who, like sophomores and juniors that you've developed over a couple of years that are heading into their like senior years or maybe even the grad years, and they're plucking them out because you might think, oh, we're going to have a squad next year because look at the experience we're bringing back. And then suddenly two or three of your guys are gone because the big-time schools threw money at them and said, come to my school and give me that foundation I need of experience, talent, older players to go with my young guys. And that's something that probably Calipari's got to do. That's probably what he has to do. But here's him talking about it. Things have changed in the NCAA, obviously, and it's a lot different. And the big-time schools have to adjust. It's why Jay Wright's not doing it anymore. It's why Coach K said, it's time for me to leave. Because it's not what it used to be, and Cal is acknowledging that. We got to put the page up, boys. Let's try it again. One more time.
He's getting on it.
All right. Here it is.
This thing here, it's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff, win league championships with the young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that?
Maybe he has to. But, I mean, his whole thing, I'm not going to just stop recruiting freshmen. Not going to do that. Think about this. Even the NBA has acknowledged that they can't compete anymore. Remember the NBA 4 years ago with their G League? They created a team called G League Ignite. They've actually drafted several players out of it that are playing very well in the NBA now, Jalen Green being one of them with the Houston Rockets. I see Scoot Henderson, who's with Portland. Right, he's another one. And what they did was, because of the one-and-done rule and all that stuff, they created a team where you could come out of high school and play pro ball instead of going to Europe. Like, we started seeing, like, Lonzo Ball did this. LaMelo, right? They went overseas. There were a couple, R.J. Hampton. They were guys that were starting to do this, play overseas for a year to avoid having to go to college. And I could make some money. And so the NBA is like, well, we don't want that to happen. So let's have a G League team where we can bring in some high school players who don't want to go to the college for whatever reason, whether it's money, whether it's grades, who knows. We give you opportunity to play here, put some pros around you, help you, you coach you up, and then you become eligible for the draft. 4 years later, the NBA has now scrapped that. G League Ignite will not have a team after this season because they know they don't need to. Why? NIL. Because now the money's being negotiated for these players from team to team and player. So that's a big part now of college basketball that has completely changed. It's almost like you do need agents. You need agents involved. This becomes free agency every year. They have no control over it. It's completely crazy. It's Wild Wild West. Barb will always tell me, well, coaches can leave whatever they want. It's one coach. You know, like it's a lot different than I had a good team and now four guys are leaving or three guys are leaving. Keeping a group together is not easy. And it's not just basketball. It's in all the sports. We know this. Nick Saban, he's talked about. That's why he national championship game, right? They lose. And then he's like disgusted because instead of being upset about losing and okay, next year starts right now, which is what used to be the thing with big programs like Alabama. Instead, he had guys in meetings, his exit meetings going, can you guarantee me playing time next year? Because if you can't, you know, this school is already offering that to me. And if you want to keep me, you're going to have to give me, like, you know, three bills. Like, it starts to become a negotiation. And he's like, this is ridiculous. Another guy that just said, I've had it. I'm out. So I guess my question is college sports ever going to be the same? Is it ever going to get back to what it was? What I used to hear from people all the time. I covered, you know, pro sports for over 20 years, and I spent the majority of my time covering the NBA. People have come to me when I've talked to them, when they find out what I do, and they're always like, you know, I don't like the pro game. I love the college game because it's more pure, because they're college kids, and they play for their school, and they just have passion. It ain't about the money. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. There is something that is romantic about that. The college game was something that a lot of fans just enjoyed because it felt more pure. Folks, that's gone. Like, that doesn't exist anymore. Even the purity of the mid-major, which used to be something that we always enjoyed this time of year, that's kind of not there either. you know, not many of these mid-majors keep guys for X amount of years. Some of them do have guys who portal in because they were at a bigger school. They weren't getting playing time. They realize, okay, my time's up. I don't want to just keep sitting behind these incoming freshmen. So I'm going to go down a step so I can get playing time, so I can play. And so, you know, even that, like the purity of that, it goes away. You know, the COVID stuff, too, with all the extra years, these guys playing 6 years, can't control that. That'll end now. This is the last of it. But still, a guy like Jack Golke is a great story, and it's a fun story this time of year. But I don't think him making so many of these insane three-pointers is a reason for John Calipari's job to be in question. It's John Calipari's got to understand that this sport has completely changed. Now, the question is it for the worse or for the better? 800-919-3776. Because March Madness, what we saw yesterday, what we hope to see today, it still looks the same, doesn't it? Kansas almost got knocked off by Samford. Bad call on the block at the end, down one. Kid makes an incredible athletic play to stop the fast break dunk. They should have had possession. They should have had, with 15 seconds left, should have had a shot at winning the game. Now, you can't say they would have won. I'm just saying. But that changed everything. Bad call. In all sports, we deal with that. But there's still the emotion and the debate. But an effort by a school like Samford going up against a school like Kansas, you love this time of year because you still get moments like that. You still get them. You still get the Jack Golke giving you one of those, you know, Wally Szczerbiak kind of performances in the tournament. Like, that's what you love. So it hasn't changed the game completely. But the business of the game is different. And maybe does that take away from that, as I mentioned, the romance that so many people have about college sports and why you prefer college sports over pro sports. 800-919-3776. Time to hear from you. Go to Joe in Stamford. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Han?
What's going on?
I have a quick thing, right? I know, I get what you're saying, right? Like this kid, Golke or whatever his name is, he was hitting some J.J. Redick shots.
Insane shots, yes.
Insane shots, I get that. But he still missed 10.
I know.
Right? He was 10 for 20.
He's 10 for 20, yeah.
And I think you're overweighing the inexperience, or the other way around, right? You're overrating it. Like, look at all the freshmen on Kentucky that are supposed to be great players. Dillingham was, what, 2 for 9? DJ Wagner was, like, 0 for 4, 0 for 5. Reed Shepard was brutal. I think he made 1 3, right? He's a 52% three-point shooter.
How many points did Kentucky score in the game?
What was the final score? What, they lose by, like, 2 or 3?
They lost by 4. It was 80-76. They scored 76 points in a college basketball game. 76 points.
They were in it.
So, it's not like I know some of their guys struggled to shoot, but you put up 76 points. Their defense couldn't stop a guy that was making contested long-distance threes. That's what happened.
Their defense is terrible.
It was terrible.
Top in Knicks defense.
Look.
But what I will say, though, you don't think the freshman you don't think the inexperience has anything to do with it? Like, I'm a big UConn fan, and like Tristan Newton and all these upperclassmen, I mean, they go out there, they perform every night.
Oh, I think it's real.
These freshmen, but
I think it's real. I think you're right. I think it's very real, which is why you're seeing more and more schools, as I mentioned, like what Pitino said about when he was in the MAC with Iona, and why these big time schools will now bird dog that league to get older players to put with their young recruits, because you need that balance now. You need
it. St. John's best players from Iona,
you know what I mean? Like that, and that's, I think that's part of how you build a team. But the problem is doing that, to me, this is the old man stuff that I just always go back to. What I loved about college basketball was you would follow a program, a class, and they would play together for 2-3 years. Like, again, that Villanova group, you know, DiVincenzo and Brunson, we're seeing now with the Knicks, they played together for 3 years. Like, they won 2 championships in 3 years because they played together. They all grew up together. It's not like one guy, oh, I was here for a year and I'm gone. You know, they were joking with Julius Randle about that. No, because Randle was like, oh, if I knew you guys back then, I would have gone to Villanova. They're like, yeah, you would have been here for 3 months. You know, like, it's just a different mentality. But Jay, understood that's changing. And I can't build a program where it's just turning it over, turning it over, turning it over. Whereas Cal thrived on it for so many years, and now it's catching up to him because it's just, it's so hard to do now. So there's a whole mentality that's got to change. Eddie in Woodbridge. Eddie.
Hey, how are you, Alan? You know, I think the game has changed. I don't think it's ever going to go back to what it was before, and I'm okay with it. Because of guys like Brian Kelly. I mean, yeah. He left Notre Dame.
Yep.
You know, he didn't even speak to the players. The next morning, he showed up and goes, guys, I'm leaving.
I remember.
No questions. And he just walked out.
They didn't want to talk to him. You remember when they had people, they were asking the players about it, and they were like, I don't want to hear from him. Don't want to hear from him. Yeah.
Right. Nick Saban himself sat in the home of Michael Orr to recruit him. 3 days later, he went to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Did he worry about his recruits then, developing them then? No.
Yeah, that's
if a coach can do that.
Right.
Then the players should be able to do it.
But
you
shouldn't
have
there
to
at
be
least
with that.
Shouldn't there at least though be some type of I don't know, just some type of rules to this? Cuz it just feels it is crazy how the portal opens and guys dive in and then suddenly programs are just flipped over.
I think eventually they're going to have to come up with regulations because the economic issue. Can't keep affording all that money because how do they get that money from boosters and then they're going to raise tuition?
Right.
So
right.
Eventually they'll have to make some regulations, which I understand. But
which I think what you do,
get what they can.
If you're I don't begrudge the players getting their money at all. I think NIL is a good thing and it's smart. But I do think to keep it somewhat under control, where you can have some consistency when it comes to the sport, which I think is important. Maybe you have to find ways that it's not like always 1 year, like to find some type of a 1 to 2 year deal, 3 year deal. And again, if you do go in the portal, that deal like is either up or there's something that happens that will deter you from wanting to do it. There has to be something.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
But no, I don't begrudge the players getting what they can get because the sport is sold on them. But I don't know. Again, I go back to the romance of it. Think about it. You know, how many years did Ewing spend at Georgetown? Just got better and better and better. You know, you saw these teams would go up against each other for 2-3 years. Same players, rivalries built. It was so good for the sport. And now because you're just seeing the NBA gets younger, that hasn't been good for the league. The NBA's gotten younger. That's not good for the league. Players are coming in not ready. And then in college, you're seeing the same thing. There's so much turnover year to year. You don't know who's going to be good. It's harder to follow. Even March Madness was easier to follow because year after year you knew. Like, again, Baycott at UNC. Like, we laugh because it feels like he's been there for 8 years, right? But it's there's one guy that just played his 4 years. What you do. Just, it's different. And the previous call is right. I don't think it's ever going to change. But is it for the worse or for the better? Again, yesterday was fun. Today should be fun. It's what it's about, entertainment. But it's clearly a lot different. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your call. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. More questions than answers when it comes to the Shohei Ohtani gambling story. And yesterday in the K-Show, Michael said, the fact that Major League Baseball is not really looking into it all that hard, maybe that's the biggest question.
All I want to know, so are we picking the good guys and the bad guys? So if Alex Rodriguez had the same story where he's paying off his assistant's gambling debts, you think they would just say, we're good, we're not going to investigate him? So you're just investigating the people that you think are sacrosanct to the sport? Let me tell you what. If Ohtani is guilty of this, the sport will survive.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Han Solo. All right, it's Tournament Update driven by Nissan. Okay, so as we mentioned, so you're an 11 seed. You did pretty well. Duquesne, Oregon, NC State. What a run NC State's been on, by the way. They got a kid from Long Island on that team as well, point guard. But so all the 11 seeds all upset the 6 seeds. Duquesne, Oregon, and NC State. So that's good stuff. And then obviously, as we were just talking about, you know, Jack Golkey and his 32 points, 10 three-pointers, and the 14 seed Oakland knocking off Kentucky, 3 seed. Kentucky already out. So there's yesterday was already get you started. Today, underway, Northwest, an 8-9 game, Florida Atlantic, Northwestern. In a little bit, we'll get Baylor and Colgate. Colgate, a 14th seed. San Diego State, UAB, also during the show. We'll give you updates on that. Marquette, Western Kentucky. And then UConn, right before the show is over, 2:45 tip, takes on Stetson. So that's what we have for you on that. Tournament update driven by Nissan. Coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get back to your calls on it. It's just simple. It's we got everything we always get out of March Madness on the very first day. The upsets, the great performances, the players who come out of nowhere. Again, the kid Golkey from Oakland just making shots. It's just, just ridiculous shots that he was making. And so we're already getting it. So it's the same old, right? But is it? Because it just, we know the sport is different with the portal, with NIL, and everything else. And so I was just wondering, I don't know if we'll ever get that romance of what college basketball used to be, but we still get these types of games and these type of performances and everything that we love. Al in New Jersey. Al.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, and I think it's gone. And here's why. Think of what happened with – I'm using Deion Sanders as an example. He basically built the whole team from the portal. It's only going to get worse. If you think college football was changed last year, wait till this year. And the same thing's going to happen here. You now have coaches that are now going to have to accept the fact that there are players probably spread across the nation that are good, but now have the opportunity to just put their name in the portal. You see where they are. Before you know it, they'll start collecting on better teams. Your traditional Kentuckys, your Indianas, you know, these teams that are supposedly elite, they'll be playing against people who are pretty much semi-pro, who've been good, they just weren't recruited to your school. Then what are you going to do? And I don't know if it's better. It's good now. We're having fun. But wait till one coach decides to recruit the whole Lithuanian, national
right, yeah,
team.
Right,
they're
exactly.
All college kids. Yep. Then what? You know, because that's what basically, like, my kid's in soccer.
Well, you know
Division
what
Division I soccer?
Mm-hmm, go ahead. Yeah. That's all sports are dealing with.
Division I soccer is like, you go to a team, it's pretty much all foreign players.
Yeah.
It'll get to that point.
Yeah, and I'm wondering this too. When do you get to a point where you get like a great AAU team and you just essentially recruit their starting five.
You hit it right on the head because they're going to have agents. Yeah.
Something like that will go down, and then all you got to do is portal in some, you know, older players from other schools that can, and then you have the foundation of what could be a great team. And then the funny part is, of course, is that the NBA will probably be moving away from the one and done and go back to, okay, you can draft an 18-year-old. I still think there should be a contingency for the league. Because, see, the NFL still has this. The NFL won't let you in the league at 18 and 19. You can't do it. They don't want that because they know you're going to get killed. You're not old enough to play. This is a grown man's game. You're going to get hurt. The NBA wanted to get younger. The NBA wanted the flash and the excitement of young players and the enthusiasm and all that stuff. They got younger. It has not been good for the game. Let's be honest. It has not. But it's what they wanted. But they knew that an 18-year-old playing with all that money, with millions of dollars, traveling around the country with grown men, that's also not a good mix. So they did the one and done. They're gonna eliminate that. But I still think they should have a rule that it's similar to, I think, in hockey, where I can draft your rights, but you can stay in college. Like, I'll draft your rights, but you stay in college. Because you're getting NIL anyway. So why can't I give you an NIL? I drafted you. I'm going to pay you, but I'm not ready for you to come to my team yet. So you stay in college. They do that in hockey. The NHL has first-round draft picks playing all over. My son's playing against a ton of them in Hockey East. Like, it's just, that's reality. So why can't the NBA do that? Then the college game's better for it. The NBA game's better for it. And then you have the insurance, of course, of I'm still paying you. Now, as a team, you're like, well, what if he gets hurt? That ruins. Like, what if anything happens? But at least he's still getting development and coaching. And if you don't like where he is program-wise and you got an affiliation with a, you know, again, like for instance, the Knicks have a connection to Kentucky and Calipari, right? So who's to say the Knicks don't draft somebody? It's just a hypothetical. Knicks draft somebody in the first round. He plays for another school. They love him as a talent. Maybe they want to get him better coaching. So I drafted you. We're going to have you portal and go to Calipari. He's going to coach you because he knows how we want you to play. Who's to say that you don't do that? And again, what the NCAA becomes is a pseudo minor league. But if you don't think that happens in hockey, you're crazy. NHL players, NHL teams draft kids. They go to college, play in college. And if you don't think there's some influence going on there, you're out of your mind. Those teams tell you what they expect out of you, what they want to see you do. Get better at this, get better at that. There has to be a connection in some way with those college programs. There has to be. But that's how it works. I drafted you. I have your rights. That's it. Like, there has to be a better way than to do it blindly like this. But I'm telling you, that one and done rule is going to be gone very soon. And when it does, it's going to change college basketball even more. Joe's in Brooklyn. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Han. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I just wanted two things. One, I just want to give a shout-out to the Knicks, man, because that was a squad. Denver got a squad. I'm looking at all their position players. I'm like, wait, so they got Jokic,
yep.
Murray,
yep.
Porter Jr.,
yep.
Then you got Pope, then you got DeAndre Jordan. I'm like, whoa. And then just to be, I don't know, I ever since the trade, the Chew has been just – is amazing,
mm-hmm.
even though I can't call another grown man his first name, but he's just been amazing.
You can call him Presh.
I'll call him P.
Presh.
But I just think, and yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Hardenstein in the beginning, but boy, man.
He's fantastic. I
got to
tell you,
mind.
He's fantastic. I think Hardenstein has opened eyes, and he's going to make a lot of money this time. The Knicks better be ready
right
to
now.
Pay him. Yeah, better be ready to pay.
I was literally talking crap about him or to ever. I don't like him. I'm not going to have enough time to say the comp, but like in the beginning, he was like all those other players we always have. As soon as they get the ball, they're like five fingers, they're dribbling all over, then they throw a brick in the air. But he really, 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 really changed my mind. He's a good player, and I actually hope you could keep him. I just think this team's a good team. And I just want to give a shout-out to them for, you know, playing well and fighting every night.
Yep.
And, you know, I used to talk a lot of crap throughout the years. I think I had it right. But this year I've been trying to be positive. Even if they lose, I just give them, a little clap of the hands on the, on social media. Son, there's enough people making bad comments about everybody. And all the people that's been talking bad about Julius Randle the whole time. Now everybody's begging for him to come back.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Why don't you people call up and admit it and say you was wrong? You don't think these players hear these shows?
I like it,
Why
Joe.
Why do you think they go out there?
I like
Why,
it, Joe. I, call them out, Joe.
We can't talk crap about our players and then expect them to come out there and fight for us every night. Big kick. That's not New York. That's say not how we do things.
Say it louder for the people in the back, Joe. Let them know. Like, it's so I've funny how quiet it gets.
Fan. I'm a big Sims fan. I'm a big time. The first time I've seen him play preseason basketball, the man jumped almost higher than the rim. I'm like, oh, my God, who is that? And they, bro, Sims is crazy. If Patrick could go down there and work with Sims, boy, I'm telling you, that Sims would be something crazy. We got a squad. I don't like all the trades with Grimes and everybody, but I guess we did what we did. I would have never took Burke back and everybody. I would have just kept the young players, let them grow. I'm a young player type of a guy. I like to see our guys grow. You know what I mean? I like to see them develop and stuff like that instead of, you know, just giving them 1 year. That's like us in our jobs. Just what, everybody just comes in their job and just master it in the first year? Like, you know what I mean? Nobody gives people time to develop anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, I just wanted to give a big shout out to them and everything like that. And I was going to make a point about the college, but
go ahead. Yeah, make it quick.
I don't feel bad for any of these coaches. They've been getting away with murder. They've been making millions. They're like gods in their hometowns. They've been having teams. They've been championships and all this stuff. And now a couple of other teams figured out a way, or nobody predicted COVID. So these players been getting an extra year or two. It's not like they did it deliberately. You know what I'm saying? So. Mm-hmm. What do good coaches do? They adjust. If they can't adjust, and don't cry about it now. They've been making millions of dollars. They've been getting away with murder, treating the players like nothing, trading them, doing whatever they want. And now that the players get a little bit of some, you know, some juice, now they want to try to change it. And I don't feel bad for them. But thanks for taking my call, hon.
You got it, Joe. And a lot of these coaches have to also understand that it's now like coaches used to, you know, the old way was – you know, you go to the house, you sit in the living room, you meet the parents, you give your speech. You know, that was the old way to do it. You make the personal connection. A lot of politician-type stuff going on there, right? Handshakes and the smiles. And, you know, if you ever watch that movie, Blue Chips, I mean, that if that doesn't tell you the story of what it used to be like, that movie was – not Blue Chips. Yeah, Blue Chips. Yeah, that movie was fantastic. The book Raw Recruits, great book on all that stuff too. But that's different now. And instead of it being that way, you almost got to have, like, and Steven said this on Twitter, I agree with him, you got to have like a general manager. You know, like, you have to have somebody that handles the recruiting and the contracts and the decisions and leave it to the coaching. Like, you know, the coach just coaches and maybe he closes the deal at the end, but maybe there's not as much significance to the coach having to do all the legwork. Like Patino's reason for not bringing St. John's to the NIT, his reason is because he's got to get right to work in the portal and building next year's team. Well, I like that as a reason he puts out there. I mean, I just think he just didn't feel like going to play like at, you know, Hinkle Fieldhouse. Like, what am I doing? Like, if it's the Garden, I guarantee you, if the NIT Final Four was at the Garden still like it used to be, they're in it, 100% in it, because it's good for the program. But it does nothing for his program to play in something that, you know, again, like we're secondary. Nobody's going to watch any of these games. And in the Final Four, even if we do advance, is in Indiana. Nobody cares. So let's focus on what we need to focus on, which is, you know, reset, play some golf, and then get back into rebuilding the team. I get it. But that's, again, another reality of college sports. All right. More your calls, 800-919-3776. I know I went really more March Madness than I did Knicks, but I'm sure a lot of Knicks fans want to talk about their team as well. We'll get into that. Tons more to get to, so stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And,
Boom!
Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, we can kick it. Yes, we can. It's Bart and Han. Han Solo with you today. 800-919-3776. Join me, would you? And we'll just talk throughout the show with all the different topics going on. J.D. Martinez gets signed by the Mets. So the Mets add a bat. They need it. Good for DH. And Steve Cohen, who just came off talking about, you know, spending and being smart with trying to build up their farm system. I mean, you still got to also build up your roster. I mean, the Mets are slated at like an 80-win team. Is that what you expect? Is that what you want? No. So if you can get a guy like J.D. Martinez and add a bat that is a relatively reasonable price, $12 million, I believe is the report, you do it. So it's a good move there. Now, we're waiting on the Yankees, and what are they going to do with their pitching? Are they just going to hold? Or are they going to see if they can get Jordan Montgomery back at a discount? And Jordan Montgomery, remember, he didn't leave happily. And he talked about a bad experience in his time here with the Yankees. So for him to decide to take the money from the Yankees would show that he also knows that the market's drying up. And he's just going to take the best offer he can take. So there's all a lot of stuff there, certainly, to watch with them. But we got calls, 800-919-3776. Let's take Danny in Connecticut. Go ahead, Danny.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. So I was calling to see if I got 2 points. One about Ohtani and one about the Knicks. So we played, you know, Denver on our last game of the like a 4-game West Coast swing. We played a good game last night, but the last time we played Denver, it was the last game of a 4-game East Coast run for them.
Correct.
Immediately gave them an excuse like, oh, it was the 4th game. We smoked them by like 60. We played a really good game last night, and we were short, and they had their full roster. Where does that put us? And then the Ohtani thing is like, what if it's something they said, the feds are investigating and not Major League Baseball? What if this is just a storyline they're running with, and it's something more sinister like, underworld, something that, you know, kidnapping, anything crazy where extortion. Whoa. Or something like that, where they just not really giving us the full, you know, the full story now. And, you know, maybe that's why they're not really pushing the issue on him. There's a lot of talk about what would they have done to A-Rod or whatever, like, you know, but what if it's something more sinister? And those are my 2 points.
I need so something more sinister. You mentioned kidnapping. So look, you got to give me a little more detail here. What do you think it could be?
Well, what they said, the people that they paid had affiliated with gambling. They didn't say, he bet on this or bet on that. They didn't even have any specifics.
No, yes, it did. Yeah, no, he bet on football.
Oh, he bet on football?
Bet on football. Okay. Yeah, bet on football.
All right, well, I just still think maybe they just given us this and it's something more to it.
I mean, we all love a crazy story, right? Like something that you just go, oh, my God, like that's really it. Like you want to, you know, you love buying into that kind of stuff. But it really, the only conspiracy that I would buy into right now, which is leaving everybody extremely skeptical, is that they are in. It started out with that Shohei was aware and was just covering this guy's gambling debt. And then it turned into, no, he had no idea. And this money now suddenly is stolen from him. Oh, by the way, Shohei had never made any bets. This guy just did it all on his own. And that's where I start going, really? Like, are you sure? Like, you didn't know about that? You didn't know about $4.5 million? Like, you didn't see that? I know he has a $700 million contract right now, but $4.5 million comes out of anybody's bank account. You're going to notice it. And so that's the part where I start wondering, like, okay, there's more to this. And Major League Baseball clearly was like, when they saw when they understood the first part of the interview, where the interpreter was trying to exonerate Ohtani and say, he didn't do anything. And then the Ohtani spokespeople were like, oh, yeah, Shohei's aware of it. And he was just trying to cover for his guy. That's all that was about. And then baseball's like, hold up. You cannot openly admit that you sent money, wired money, to an illegal sports betting bookie because it's illegal in California. You can't do that. And so then it became, whoa, we didn't know anything about it. So the story changed so abruptly that now everybody's skeptical about the reality of it. Everybody's now wondering, there's definitely more to this. So that's the only conspiracy. I mean, the whole other stuff, the underworld stuff that you were talking about, I mean, that would probably make for a really good movie. But I'm not quite sure it even goes that deep. But there is a federal investigation into that bookie. And so far, nothing into Ohtani and nothing with baseball yet. But if you're baseball, it doesn't matter about federal investigations. What matters is the court of public opinion. And right now, this, along with the J.B. Bickerstaff story, you got to admit, the timing of this is awful for baseball, for basketball. And, you know, the states that don't have legalized sports gambling, there's going to be a lot more questions about things that go on in those states. There's 40 states that it is legal, and New York is one of them. And those are relegated, and those are followed carefully, and those have reputable companies that aren't going to deal in credit. They're going to deal in actual money, real money. If you don't have the money, you can't bet. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's what keeps it as close to safe as possible. But this whole thing with Ohtani raises a lot of eyebrows. It makes a lot of people wonder, like, what's really going on there? And is the interpreter the fall guy in this whole thing? See, there's your conspiracy. Did they make him the fall guy? You take the hit. We'll take care of you, but you take the hit. Because this can't fall on Ohtani. Because this is the face. Remember, we were talking about, he's the face of the league. He is probably the most famous player in the league right now. And while he can't pitch this year, he still can hit this year. And he's still somebody that's going to draw huge crowds, huge attention. So a story like this is not something baseball wants, especially when the season is just beginning. All right, more of your calls, 800-919-3776. So Tyron Smith spoke about the Jets and why he chose the Jets. And what he said is very interesting because it leads us back to a question we were asking last year, but maybe this year, does it feel more real? Are the Jets really a Super Bowl contender? 800-919-3776. We'll get to your calls in the second hour. Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Can you imagine if you took Oakland? Imagine if you had the gall to take that upset and then you're watching Jack Golke just lighten it up and lighten up your winnings. $200 to use in point spreads, money lines, and even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. 21 or older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY-467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, not the way the Knicks wanted to end their road trip, but still a successful trip out west, going 3-1. Tom Thibodeau, what happened last night against Denver?
They're obviously champions for a reason. We fought hard, but our rebounding wasn't good throughout the game. I thought offensively the way we started the game was really good, and it's a 2-point game with 8 minutes to go in the fourth. A couple things, you know, just some defensive transition, the take foul, which I'm not sure about, but that was a big swing right there.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.